Thank you, Robert, and good evening. If you're opening your Bibles, the book of Isaiah chapter 2, we'll begin tonight. Isaiah chapter 2. This morning, as we identified source of evil, the evil one that Jesus identified, book of John chapter 17, the prayer that the apostles, we who believe in him through the words of the apostles, would be kept from the evil one, that is, kept out of his hands, kept out of his power. And the assurance, as we saw there in the book of 1 John, is that he will keep us, and that the evil one will not be able to touch us, that is, seize us or grab us or touch us to bring about harm. And yet we also recognize the activity of the evil one. As said of Cain in 1 John chapter 3, he was of the evil one and slew his brother. And so the influence and the effect of the evil one always brings about suffering and discord and all the things that would be unpleasant in this life, the work of the evil one. The question we asked this morning, well, why doesn't God do something? As we identified, of course, God is not the source of evil. But not simply God not being the source of evil. What we want to see tonight is that God was and is very actively involved. God provided a solution. God provided, as it were, an antidote for the evil. So begin here, book of Isaiah chapter 2. Now tonight, we're reading a number of chapters and we'll be flipping backwards and forwards. I would invite you and encourage you, flip with us. That's not a New Testament term, but flip with us. Go with us, read the various verses that we assign. So, book of Isaiah, chapter 2. And Isaiah begins by identifying in verse 2, "There'll come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains." Again, we identify when it says in the last days, we refer to book of Acts, chapter 2, 16 and 17, where the crowds were wondering at this marvelous sign granted through the apostles, speaking with languages, actually dialects, literally, of all over the world. Some were saying, these men are drunk. And Peter's answer was, these men are not drunks, only the third hour. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. Joel, the Old Testament prophet, now being fulfilled by Peter, the New Testament apostle, one of them, that the last days were now here and God's word was being fulfilled. Or again, book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, that God after spoke to the fathers long ago through the prophets in many portions, many ways, and these last days are spoken to us in his Son. So from the time the Lord Jesus was ascended back to the Father and his authority over all mankind, over all things in heaven and earth, from that time on we have been in the last days. So the timing, therefore, is identified, spoken about by Isaiah. It involves us. The last days in which we are living have been present from the time of our Lord Jesus being ascended back to the Father. So identifies in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established or set up in the last days. The mountain of the house of the Lord. Now keep your finger here in the book of Isaiah and go with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, you recall the situation, King Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. He demands of his wise men, not only tell me the meaning of the dream, tell me the dream. And of course, they are at a loss, unable to do so. Until Daniel, the one through whom God would give the answer, speaks up. And he tells the king of his dream. He saw there, as identified in verse 31, a single great statue. That statue was large and of extraordinary splendor. Identifies verse 32, the head was that of a statue was made of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, with feet partly with iron and partly of clay. And then as the dream unfolds, identifies verse 35, but there was a stone that was carved without hands. wasn't the work of man. And this stone struck the statue. And we're told that the statue then was crushed in verse 34. And in verse 35, he identifies that that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So you have the statue and the stone that was cut up without hands shattered the statue, and the stone became a great mountain. So identifies, Daniel now gives the interpretation of the dream, that these various parts of the idol, of the great statue, represented various kingdoms or empires. He identified verse 37, of the head of fine gold, he says, of Nebuchadnezzar in verse 38, you are the head of gold. Babylon was the head of gold. And though, verse 39, after there will rise another kingdom inferior to you, Medo-Persia, then a third kingdom of bronze, which of course, Alexander, which will rule over the whole earth. And then a fourth kingdom would come along, strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. So, like iron, it breaks in pieces, will crush and break all those in pieces. You saw the feet and toes, partly of porous clay and partly of iron. It will be a divided kingdom. Then you identify also in verse 44, in keeping with the dream of those various parts of the arrow, the great statue being shattered by this stone that became a great mountain, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. So in the keeping with the unfolding of the dream, the stone that became a great mountain, identified as the kingdom, is set up and established by God. The mountain, used figuratively, refers to a kingdom, refers to a government. In the same manner, the book of Jeremiah 51 and verse 24 and verse 25, the nation of Babylon was identified, referred to as a destroying mountain. It was a nation, but as a nation, as a government, it was identified as a mountain. And it was therefore identified as a destroying mountain. So in the days of these kings, the fourth kingdom, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. In the days of those kings, this stone will become a great mountain, God's kingdom. Then we have in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus tells us at the time when the Roman Empire, of course, was the force upon the earth, the kingdom of God is at hand. Time prepared, the kingdom of God is at hand. Never without question, this fourth kingdom was Roman Empire. Because Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, kingdom of God is at hand. And then we're told by the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 16, when Peter answered for the apostles, when Christ said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter's answer was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord's response was that you are Peter, and upon this rock, upon this bedrock of my deity, being the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So in the days of those kings, the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. In the days of the kings identified here, Jesus said the time is fulfilled. Kingdom of God is at hand. Not thousands of years in the future, was at hand. And so I will build my church, my assembly, and I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. Therefore, individuals are baptized into Christ. They are added by the Lord to his number, the number of those belonging to him, or in the King James, added to the church, in Acts 2 and verse 47. When we're added to the church, as we observed this morning, book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Lord rescues us and transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. If we are members of his church, we're also citizens of his kingdom. Kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ has been established. Therefore, we have here from book of Isaiah and book of Daniel that now the kingdom of the Lord has been established. The mountain of the house of the Lord has been set up. The mountain of the house of the Lord has been established. God's church, Church of Jesus Christ, Kingdom of Christ. So having seen that, back then the book of Isaiah chapter 2. In the last days, which is from the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, right on through until the Lord returns, then that the mountain of the Lord's house has been established. Identify what will transpire. And all nations will stream into it. Reading the King James, all nations will flow into it, will stream to it. The idea is the glistening of a stream, of a river, the sheen which you would see on a river. You stand by a river and you see the sun sparkling, the sheen of the river. That's exactly the idea here, the sheen of a river. So all nations are flowing like the sheen of a river. All these peoples are flowing into it, into the mountain of the house of the Lord, into the church of Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. All nations will flow into it. And again, all nations. This is the Jewish writer, Jewish literature. But God's intention has always been all nations. To Abraham, in Genesis 22 and verse 18, identify there that because you've obeyed my voice, then there will be a result. And the result being, in your seed, all nations shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. And Paul identified the seed in book of Genesis, book of Galatians 3 and verse 16, was Jesus Christ. So therefore the idea being, the thought being, that all nations flowing into it, this sheen of a river, as a movement of peoples toward the promise of God. And what was it that attracted them? We identify in verse 3. Then many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom established by God, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us concerning his ways. We'll walk in this pass, and the Lord will go forth from Zion. What attracted them? What attracted them was the teaching of the Lord and his law, the Torah, God's instruction. His kingdom set up, the church established, and what is the church? Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, in case I am delayed, I rest that one may know how he ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and support of the truth. Church established, kingdom established, God's house established. The house, the mountain of the house of the Lord has been established. In the last days, all nations would flow into it. And God's plan and God's purpose has always been for the salvation of all nations, not just the Jewish nation, but all nations. And all nations would find the salvation in the mountain of the house of the Lord, Christ's church, Christ's kingdom. Identify also here in verse 4. What then would be the result? As people are drawn by the teaching of the Lord, by the instruction of the Lord, what then would be the result? In verse 4, he would judge between the nations, that is those nations flowing, streaming into the mountain of the house of the Lord. He would judge between the nations, And will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords into plowshares, the spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. Never again will they learn war. You identify, as we saw this morning, those aggressive tendencies, those aggressive actions, now are transformed. What is achieved is a peace. A peace that man could not bring about, a peace that the United Nations could never achieve, but a peace that is found in the mountain of the house of the Lord. Because individuals have come to the mountain of the house of the Lord to learn of the Lord, attracted by the Lord's instruction. And being instructed by the Lord in the mountain of the house of the Lord, they are changed and they are transformed. And their aggressive tactics and their aggressive intentions are transformed. And that which is caused by evil has been eradicated. Now keep in mind, He's not speaking here of some millennial kingdom, as it's supplied by many, of a millennial kingdom to be established when Christ returns. He's speaking of the things that were to be established in the last days. And these things have been established. Christ's church has been established. The house of the Lord had been established. And God's kingdom, Jesus Christ, has been established. But then look further. The book of Isaiah chapter 11, where we read this evening. In Isaiah chapter 11, you're there, first of all, in verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse. Jesse, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, being the father of David, King David. So a shoot will spring forth from Jesse, from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Therefore, from this lineage of Jesse, David, there would be a stem. There would be a branch. And identify now what this branch, as he so identified, what this branch will accomplish in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, person. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he, the shoot from the stem of Jesse, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eye sees, but make a decision in what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Here we're describing the shoot from the stem of Jesse. Here we're describing the branch. Now, again, keep your finger here. The book of Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. In Jeremiah, again, moved by the same Spirit of God, in verse 5, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Old Testament, looking forward. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, just as Isaiah 11, that shoot from the stem of Jesse, the branch. Jesus Christ, of course, the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 3, is a descendant of David according to the flesh. Jesus came forth from Jesse. Jesus came forth from David. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely, do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name of which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Here we have the branch coming forth from Jesse, coming forth from David, of which Jesus Christ fulfilled. He would reign as king and act wisely. You recall when the news came to Mary that she was going to have a child, even though she had never known a man, she was a virgin. And of that child, you will call his name Jesus. You recall he will be great. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. Jesus Christ was born to be a king. And so identify here his name. His name will be called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord. Clearly seen from the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 36. That all the house of Israel know for certain the Lord has made, God has made him both Lord and Christ. He is Lord. He is our Lord. The Lord, our righteousness. And speaking of Jesus, book of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he says, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ. The one who came forth in the shoot of David. The branch coming forth from David. Who was born to reign. His name is both Lord and he is righteousness. Therefore, see again, book of Isaiah, chapter 11. As we observe in chapter 2 of Isaiah, as a result of all nations streaming into the mountain of the house of the Lord, being instructed by God, the peace was accomplished. Be the swords of the plowshares, the spears and the pruning hooks, never again would they learn war. That's not of the nations, that's of those nations that have flowed into and streamed into the house of the Lord, the mountain of the house of God's kingdom, Christ's church. So identify here again now in Isaiah, as a result of the work of the branch, Jesus Christ, in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 11. And the wolf will dwell with a lamb, and the leopard will lie down with a young goat. The calf, the young lion, and the fatling together. A little boy will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze together, and the young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play in the hole of a cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. Now, you've probably seen the pictures drawn by the people with the dispensationalists and millennialists and so forth. This marvelous picture of the millennial kingdom. And you have a child playing with snakes and the wolf and the lamb lying down together. We have here the same idyllic picture of peace as seen in Isaiah chapter 2. Where they beat the swords and the plowshares and spears and the pruning hooks, never learning war. Now you have the same picture of this idyllic peace that man could never accomplish by himself. And observe, where was this peace to be realized? In verse 9, don't hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. In my holy mountain, the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord, established by Jesus Christ, upon the basis of his sacrifice and his blood, kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ was established. In his kingdom, those who flow into the mountain of the house of the Lord, there will be a peace that can never be realized by any force or negotiations upon this earth. A wonderful peace. But when will this to be? In verse 10, then on that day, what day? The day when this peace will be realized. The peace when the nations beat their swords and their plowshares, spears and their pruning hooks. The day when the wolf lies down with the lamb and the child plays with the cobra. These things that be impossible otherwise. But these picture a peace. These bring a setting to the mind, a mental image of that which is unbelievable peace. Then on that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. On that day, the nations will resort, or the nations will seek in the King James. Nations will seek the branch, the stem from Jesse, being identified, of course, as Jesus Christ. The nations will resort to the root of Jesse, and the root of Jesse will stand as a signal. The idea is like a flag or a standard around which people can gather. Like in a war, hold up the banner and all the soldiers will gather around the place of safety. You rally around the banner. You rally around the standard. So the root of Jesse will be raised as a standard for all those to gather who are seeking the peace, who desire the peace. And his resting place will be glorious. Or literally, his rest will be glory. So we have a picture here of what will be. A peace that God has designed. A peace that God desires for all the nations. A peace that is possible only in the fulfilling of God's purposes. And God doesn't make any idle plans. Here are the plans for peace. This rest, as it discusses here, restful, quietness, calm, that which can never be accomplished by any negotiation or anything from a bottle or a pill, only what God can provide. And when was this to be? Mention the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The things I write to you are the Lord's commandments. The point being that as an apostle, he spoke by inspiration. Just as Isaiah likewise wrote by inspiration, as in Peter, those moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, speaking of the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke from God. Isaiah was moved by God to make known God's word. The Apostle Paul likewise spoke by inspiration, making known God's word. They said what would be, and the Apostles' New Testament tell us what is. So, again, verse 10. Then in that day the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal, as a standard, to rally around, and his resting place will be glorious. Those who desire to share in the resting place of the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, will rally around. He stands as a signal saying, here I am, come to me, here is a place of peace. So, the book of Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15 and verse 12. And Paul, speaking of inspiration, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who rises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Quoting Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. You say, well, that doesn't read the same as I saw back there in Isaiah. Well, the difference is Paul is citing the Septuagint version, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which, interestingly enough, wasn't regarded as a very good translation by purists, but nevertheless was used by the writers of the New Testament. The setting. He's writing to the church in Rome, those in Romans 1 and verse 6 who are called by the name of Jesus, the called out of Jesus, the church of Christ in the city of Rome, made up of Jews and Gentiles, made up of those who previously would have had nothing to do with each other, who were alienated from each other, as we have in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Gentiles having no hope without God in the world, weren't part of Israel, were cut off, had no place. So observe in chapter 14 of Romans, as he's writing to the called out of Christ, called out of Jesus, there in the city of Rome, the church in Rome, made up of these various groups. So chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, now accept the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. God has accepted him. Look at verse 10 of chapter 14. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. In verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Verse 15, for if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love, which is the standard in Christ's church. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. the kingdom of God. They were in the church. They were part of the kingdom. The mountain of the house of the Lord had been established, had been set up just as the prophet said. In verse 18, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things that make for peace, walking in love, pursuing the things that make for peace, and the building up of one another. One another, groups that previously would have been opposed to each other, walking in love, desiring peace, building up one another. So chapter 15 and verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each one of us is to please his neighbor for his good and to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. So the concern is for one another, not just for self. Even if that one another is of a group that previously you would have had nothing to do with. Now you're walking in love, pursuing peace, and desiring to build up one another. In verse 7 of chapter 15. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ had become a servant to the circumcision, the Jews, on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles. Christ is a servant of the Jew, and Christ the servant of the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. And he recalls from various passages from the Old Testament. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles. I will sing to your name among the Gentiles. From the 18th Psalm, verse 49. Again, verse 10. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12. Verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. 117th Psalm. Again, Isaiah says, it shall come the root of Jesse, he whom arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope, because Jesus stands as a signal to the nations. And as in Isaiah chapter 2, all the nations will flow into it, like a glistening stream, all the nations flowing into it, into the church of Jesus Christ, and there is peace. Figured in the spears and swords, being transformed into useful and peaceful implements. Being pictured in a very graphic and idyllic fashion of wolves and lambs. Children playing with snakes. Here is a peace in Christ Jesus that can only be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And only as individuals turn to the Lord, seek the Lord's instruction, and desire to hear the Lord's directions. Then and only then is that peace realized. And the peace so promised in the Old Testament is a peace now realized in Jesus Christ, in his church. Isaiah chapter 11, Paul says that fulfilled in Romans 15 and verse 12 by those who are members of the Lord's church, who are no longer looking only at themselves and their group, but now being more concerned for each other, walking in love, pursuing peace, desiring to build up and encourage one another. And so, therefore, the standard is held up, Jesus Christ. And the standard is held up for all those seeking the peace of God. Rally around that standard, around Jesus Christ. Justified by grace, peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5. But then consider further. The rest that was offered. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Christ said, I will give you rest. But he said also, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. It's not a rest outside, not a rest from the troubles of the world, not a rest among the nations who are warring, but those who come into Jesus Christ, knowing the rest and the comfort and the peace that only Jesus Christ can provide. God's promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Men misconstrue and paint pictures of a millennial kingdom at the end of time, so when Christ comes back to reign upon this earth, then we'll have babies playing with snakes and all the rest of it. No, this is the promise fulfilled in Christ right now for those who are members of the Lord's church. And you also consider verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so you will abound in hope by the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, Here is a peace, and here is a power, here is a hope that fills and overflows the heart. A peace, hope, it's not given to nations or a blanket hope for those who would want to do better, but only found in Jesus Christ. Could this be fulfilled by those who are serving wealth? Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and wealth. Those who therefore have a materialistic attitude to the world and building their security by wealth, no, you'll never know this peace and this hope. Only as you rally around the signal, which is Jesus Christ. Could this be realized or experienced by those who are driven by hate, by those who feed upon old grievances? Grievances maybe not of ourselves, but maybe previous generations. All the things that done wrong to my forebears. See, those who feed upon hate, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, those who live to destroy, no, they'll never know the peace of Jesus Christ. And those also who would be only filled with old grievances, all the things that were done wrong in the past, and want to put these right, and you owe me, and no, we'll never know the peace that's in Christ. Only as we, with all the peoples, have that movement to the mountain of the house of the Lord, now established in Jesus Christ. Kingdom of God now established in Jesus Christ. God's kingdom now established. The church of Jesus Christ. Here's God's answer. The question I have, do we sell the church short? Are we those who have limited the church? After all, the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it was through the church that the manifold wisdom of God was made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Through the church, God's manifold wisdom is made known. In keeping with the eternal purpose, he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we think of church only as within these four walls? Do we think of church only as something we do on Sunday and fail to realize the power of God to bring about this peace? The gospel, the power of God for salvation. The church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the source and the only area and the only locality where this wonderful and almost unbelievable peace can be realized. People, various backgrounds, previously maybe opposed to each other, even holding grievances from the past against each other, washed away in Jesus Christ. A peace that could only be known as individuals turn to and submit themselves to Jesus Christ. And the question goes further. Does my life and my conduct, does it speak of one who is rallying round the standard, the signal, Jesus Christ? Do I give the impression, even to my own family, that I am one who is rallying, I'm rallying around that standard. Jesus Christ is my standard. Jesus Christ is my hope, and my whole life is centered in him. And therefore shows in others the greatness and the wonder of the Lord Jesus. Am I rallying round the standard? Am I being drawn to the signal of Jesus Christ, above and beyond all else? We may also ask, are we easily intimidated by the forces of this world? Do we become apologetic for being Christians? Apologetic for being part of Churches of Christ? I don't want to seem an oddball, you know, and we back off and we apologize and we backpedal and all the rest of it. Only in Christ Jesus is this to be realized. The power and the grace of God. When Christ said, come to me, O you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Remember who's speaking? The shoot from the stem of Jesse. The branch raised up by God from David. The branch is speaking. The Savior is speaking. And what he's offering is rest. Rest for the soul. Found only in Christ Jesus. With all the warring and the hatred of the world, the only answer is found in Christ. When men stand opposed, refuse to heed, want to have their own way and have the way of blood, the way of hate, that fulfills them, they'll never know peace. Our task is to make known the good news, the message of peace in Jesus Christ. Those of you who are involved in the world of Bible class, think what you're doing. The message of peace being sent into all parts of the world, into Africa and so forth. And even in our hometown, even in our own homes, to make known and live by the standard of peace, to rally around the signal, rally around the flag, and that signal is Jesus Christ. He is our standard. So never become apologetic nor intimidated by the power of the world, because here's God's power demonstrated as fulfilled through all the centuries, and at the present time is our source of hope, the only source of hope, and the only source of peace. And we're in Christ as we're baptized into him. No other way. Men would argue and find different ways. The only way is to be baptized into Christ for forgiveness of sins. And there, forgiveness is gained, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit is received. Let us who are Christians spend more time in the Word of God. Remember, we overcome the evil one because the Word of God dwells in us. Let the Word dwell in us, become familiar. I know some of you have been here tonight, and as you leave, you'll have no idea what was said. Am I true? Some of you have no idea what we're talking about, because you are passive listeners during this half hour. And the Word of God made no impression. It's not being judgmental, it's just being realist. For all we are is passive listeners to God's Word. What of the peace? What of the hope? What of the power? What of the confidence? Let the Word of God dwell in us and rally to Jesus Christ and point others to the only source of salvation and hope and peace that God has made known in this world. Whatever your need might be, come to Christ as we stand together and sing.